back at it here on a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX. It is one of my favorite times of the week when we get to bring on to the program. He is he's got the Bernie Miklas Show on YouTube. You can read him still occasionally on Scoops. And, of course, he's part of the team once again here at KMOX. He is Bernie Miklas. Bernie, always enjoy being able to talk with you. Thanks for coming back on.
Always a pleasure, Matt. Thank you, man. Good to be here.
We had a fun conversation, myself, and Kevin Wheeler yesterday, where we really went through everything that the Cardinals announced yesterday. I kind of want to repeat some of what we talked about yesterday for folks who have not gotten the chance to watch that video. But to me, the big thing that came out of yesterday was the Cardinals adding another really smart person in Rob Serfolio to come in from Cleveland and continue to try to help rebuild this player development system with the Cardinals.
I was really excited. I remain excited by the hire because he's a true dynamo, like an up and coming guy that's really created a lot of buzz within baseball. And during his 10 seasons with Cleveland, and it's amazing that he's only 32 years old, but that's how long he's been doing this. You know, they have the fourth best winning percentage in the majors, and they rank number six in terms of postseason victories. And their average payroll size, as we talked about over the 10 years, has been 23rd, and they've been 25th or lower four times in those 10 years. So this is an organization, and he is well-versed in every aspect of how they do things in Cleveland, that does two things. They dramatically outperform their payroll budget, and that is not easy to do at all. And now you got two guys with that history, because Heim Bloom did the same thing in Tampa Bay. And also, like Tampa Bay and Heim Bloom, Serfolio and the Guardians have had superb pitching, where they draft, develop, sign, international scouting, whatever. They have had a top five group of pitchers going for, in terms of ERA, for about a decade. So those, the Cardinals need both of those things. They need more payroll efficiency, and they also need to get back to making pitching an internal strength, that pitching that they develop and that they grow on their own farm. So it's a really good fit for what they need to do.
I'm a really big believer in you make good decisions first and you kind of spend money second. You find a way to make smart decisions with money. And not that anybody's sneezing at the New York Mets payroll. It was still a very significant payroll this year. But they brought in a smart guy, and then they reduced payroll. Cardinals are going to reduce payroll. I don't know what it's going to look like next season. Nobody really knows at this point. But I just get excited by the fact that there's more smart people coming into the organization.
Well, there's no doubt about it. And when I talk about payroll efficiency, like, I've gotten some pushback, and that's okay. You know, it's free country and all that, free speech. Some people take it to interpret as like, I think it's really good to have a low payroll or something. No, I'm not saying that at all. I don't need them to spend money foolishly. I'd rather see them be really smart about it. And anyone who is like this idea of payroll efficiency thinks, well, that's just the Cardinals trying to be cheap. No. Learn from history. That's why Bill DeWitt in the early aughts brought in Jeff Luhnow, because he said, we got to have a better model. We have to get back to develop our own players and then supplement them with free agent signings. We need to have a great farm system. And that's what they did. Now Bill DeWitt's trying to do it again. And that's what payroll efficiency is all about. There's a lot of good teams in baseball that don't spend as much money as the Cardinals do, yet they get better results. So what does that tell you? That's the proof is in the pudding, as they say.
Yeah, absolutely. And if the Cardinals can get more production from the cost-controlled players that they develop, then that leaves more of their expendable money, hopefully, potentially. If they're spending money on free agents, you would hope that they would be spending money on all-star caliber free agents as opposed to the mid-level guys. And we've talked about this, but this is just another time to reiterate the point that they got to stop spending money on mid-level guys.
Right. And that's the irony. A lot of people want them to spend. Well, when they spend, they get into trouble because they clog the payroll up, and the people that they bring in, too many of them, unfortunately, underperform. And that's how you create the situation that they've been in. That's why they are what they are, because they got away from what they do best, which is develop their own players, especially pitching. And I think they're getting back to that because of Randy Flores, who's drafted some really good arms. That I think their pitching is on the upturn as far as what's coming to the majors. But I think with Rob Serfolio, Chaim Bloom, when they get this farm system, player development system, when they get this thing fully restored, there's going to be, you mentioned at the top, you know, smart people. The Cardinals organization, baseball-wise, is going to be loaded with smart baseball men. And I find that exciting. That's more beneficial to me than seeing somebody write a check and then hope for the best. Well, let's see. Maybe he'll do well. You know, and if he doesn't, then you're stuck with a bad contract. That's not good baseball. That's not how you run an organization.
We're talking with Bernie Miklas. I don't know how you read the answer yesterday for the final question that John Mozeliak answered in his press conference. He was asked about payroll and if they had any more of a idea of where it was going to go, because in that press conference a few weeks ago, that's when they said that payroll was going to go down. Mo basically said he has an idea of where it's going, but they're not at a point yet where they can announce it publicly, and they're still waiting to see about revenue streams, and I would assume that's connected to both TV and whether or not sports gambling is going to be legalized here with the vote coming up in a couple weeks. But then he said, but there's going to be many opportunities for young players. That's a paraphrase. That's not a word for word, but that's essentially what he said. Bernie, when I heard him say that, I said, okay, this is going to be more than Paul Goldschmidt, Kyle Gibson and Lance Lynn's contracts walking off the books. It just something when he said it the way he said it made me really feel like there's going to be a more explicit lowering of payroll with contracts going away.
That's how I read it too. And I do agree with what Mo said as far as like we really can't sort of do a ballpark estimate of what kind of payroll we're talking about, but it's definitely going to be lower. And, you know, I look at it this way, you know, they're going to take a step back in order to take a step forward, you know, and I think it's kind of overdue. I look forward to seeing what, it's not just the young position players that we know of that we've already seen, but, you know, J.J. Weatherholt's not that far mm-hmm. off. I wouldn't be surprised if he's in the major leagues next year sometime after the All-Star break. Chase Davis, former number one pick. I mean, he's really like a fast comer all of a sudden. They have some really good talent, and they have guys at the major league level who are young who need a full opportunity to play and not look over their shoulder every other game if they're in a slump. And so I'm okay with this because I'm confident it's going to lead to a better era, a new era of Cardinals baseball that's going to be pretty enjoyable and satisfying and successful. But there's got to be a little bit of pain, I guess. And I don't even know if it's pain. I think St. Louis, I actually like watching a young, hungry team with a lot of energy. That can be a refreshing change of pace, quite frankly. But I know it's not easy to accept that, the idea that the Cardinals are not going to contend. But then again, have they really been contending? When's the last time you really thought of them as a team that could win the World Series?
It's been a while. And I mean, yeah. Look, a couple years ago, I think there was that hope during the final year for Pujols that maybe they would go on a playoff run there. But that also was more the exception than anything else.
Yeah, they've had a hard time. What's their record? You know, 4-11 or 5-11, you know, the 4-11 in the last 15 games, and they've lost 9 out of 10. I mean, it's just been kind of lost their touch. And playoff, postseason baseball, there does have a lot of randomness, but listen, when you're losing 9 out of 10 postseason games, you're just not good enough. You were okay enough to get in, but you're just not a powerhouse type team. Even a team like Arizona last year, where they always had the pitching, they always had enough talent there. It just took them a long time during the season to put it together, and then they got hot. That can happen too, but the Cardinals haven't been built that way in recent years. If anything, history unfortunately tells us that they just stop hitting in the postseason. I mean, it's really almost like an epidemic. It's like really strange the way the bats go quiet all the time.
One more Cardinals thing for you. We'll talk Blues here in a moment for just a second. But
sure.
What I'm curious about is, and you've talked about this on our video podcast that we do, there is such a dislike for John Mozeliak among a certain percentage of the fan base that it doesn't matter what the team does, people find negatives to it. I think we saw that a little bit with the Brant Brown hiring. People are searching for reasons not to like it. And what I'm curious about is if next year's team is a fun, exciting team with young players who have bright futures, if Cardinals fans are going to accept them, even if the wins and losses are not what the team would like. But again, if it's kind of a re-energized group, if Cardinals fans are going to embrace that for the year, or if, because John Mozeliak is still the figurehead of the organization, if people are still going to really push back on him.
I think it's going to be a problem for the Cardinals. I mean, gosh, I've known and covered John Mozeliak a long, long time, even when he was way down the ladder in the organizational ladder working for Walt Jocke. And I understand his unpopularity. And listen, I've been very, very critical. But it's just going to be better for everyone, including John Mozeliak, when he turns it over to Chaim Bloom, because then the Cardinals really can have a fresh start. So to your question, I think there's a lot of reasonable people out there that if they just separate Mo from what they're watching on the field, and they sort of like a young, hungry team that's ascending rather than older and descending, I think it can win some people over. But listen, I'm not going to – I can't soft sell this. I think that as long as Mo is in that seat, I think people are just going to either be very unhappy or they're going to hold back in terms of enthusiasm. What percentage of the fan base will act that way or be that way? I don't know. But I think there will be people holding back, or people that have just sort of withdrawing, or just being frustrated.
We're talking with Bernie Miklas, our weekly conversation with him here on Sports Open Line. Blues announced today that Robert Thomas is going to be out for at least 6 weeks with a broken right ankle. They'll reevaluate him after 6 weeks. So we're probably looking at closer to 2 months or beyond. Bernie, I look at this team and I say Jordan Binnington is the player you most can't lose, but number two on that list might be Robert Thomas. The high-end depth on this team is not there. The center position, all of a sudden you start to do some shuffling there. We'll see what they look like. And again, they've played better and got more wins to start the season than I was expecting, so I've been pleasantly surprised by the performance. But to me, this seems like a really, really tough blow for the team.
It's terrible because Robert Thomas is their best overall player. You know, I leave the goalies out of there. I'm talking about skaters, and there's no doubt he's their best player. And it's not just that he's a really talented player. It's that he is vital to what they do in every area. Like he's their number one center. He's on the top power play. He plays a major role in penalty killing. He wins 63% of the faceoffs. And he also just eats up all kinds of ice time. Like, I looked this up today because I was curious. This is what you're replacing, trying to. He has played 34% of the available ice time this season. There's only 8 forwards in the NHL that have had a higher percentage than that. So, in other words, you're not just losing him, you know, like you're losing all of these areas that he affects, that he impacts. And you're also losing a guy who logs a tremendous volume of ice time. And you just can't replace that. He's their best passer and assist man, which I didn't say, you know, obviously that on the list too. He is so vital in so many different ways. The only thing I can think of, Matt, is that Binnington and Hofer, who have been terrific, the Blues are going to have to specialize in goal suppression. They're just going to have to win a lot of low-scoring games because this offense was already down in terms of goals per 60 minute from where it was last year. And now that you take Thomas out of that, listen, this is a really tough challenge for them offensively. So they better seal it off defensively and count on great goaltending and ride that goaltending.
We're going to learn something about Drew Bannister too, because I'm not real worried about what happens over the next 2 weeks. We see injuries like this happen and teams always lift themselves up, but eventually you kind of regress to the mean. I'll be very curious to see if that regression does happen after. I would expect the team to, you know, guys to step up here for the next week or so in light of this injury, but what does this team look like 3 weeks from now? That can be a reflection of Bannister's coaching.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And I don't know how he adjusts. I know how he moved Braden Schenn to the top line, and they do have enough centers. But to your point earlier, We're talking about the high quality, the high end depth. They do listen because of Doug Armstrong. They do have more overall depth, but is it enough to overcome a loss like this? And you know, one other quick note about it. You know, I mentioned Robert Thomas won about 63% of faceoffs. And this is just gets into having possession of the puck. 63% for guys that have played about 140 minutes or more, that's the third best in the league. And here's the scary thing. He's got a 63% faceoff success rate. The other Blues who have taken faceoffs, 46%. Now think about that a minute. You're already offensively challenged, right? And one reason is because Robert Thomas gets you the puck because he wins so many draws. Who's going to be winning the draws now? I think it's a legitimate concern.
Part of your daily routine should be headed to YouTube.com and get to @TheBernieShow. He puts at least one video, generally multiple videos per day, and they are fantastic. And more often than not, they're very easy watches over a few minutes where Bernie goes deep on different topics. And Bernie, we love those. We love the videos we've been doing. And also, before we get you out of here, who's bringing you on with us today?
Well, it's my friends at Saliga Heating and Cooling. Is a legendary St. Louis business, family-owned since 1927. Dan Saliga runs it and owns it now, and he does a great job. He's upheld that tremendous family business and has been doing it for generations of St. Louis families. And this is what I love about them because, of course, we are a Saliga client, a Saliga family, and they've helped us out a lot. We think the world of them because they're so honest and professional and knowledgeable and classy when they come into your home. They offer you solutions that might save you money rather than trying to like sell you into the idea of you got to do the most expensive thing. Their integrity means too much to them because it's in the family name. And this American Standard Heating and Air Conditioning dealer, independently owned by the Saliga family, they just believe in, hey, that name means something, and they're not going to do anything to tarnish it. And the people that call them for help with home heating, air conditioning, you benefit from that because they want to please you. They want to earn your respect. So they also have a maintenance program. So look into that, and you'll be ready for all seasons. It's called the Priority Club Maintenance Plan. You can go to SaligaHeatingAndCooling.com. Don't forget they got the American Standard Heating and Air Equipment. But go to SaligaHeatingAndCooling.com to find out more about that Priority Club. Also, 314-481-7333, 481-7333. Thank you very much, Matt.